Welcome, gentlemen. Welcome. To the last audit committee of the session, Thursday the 4th of April, 3 o'clock. My notices. The meeting is being sound recorded. In the event of a fire, please exit by the relevant man, green man. Health and safety, please be advised there are different levels of the flooring in the council chamber. That's just to keep you alert. And the meeting is being closed circuit televised. Right, apologies, please.
We've received apologies for absence from councillors Miss Emma Lewis and Miss M.S. Hurd. Apologies, M.S. Hurd. And Councillor Beale is here substituting for Councillor Hurd.
Thank you very much. Minutes of the last meeting on the 7th of February.
Agreed.
For accuracy only, please, members, agreed. Thank you very much. Disclosure of interest to disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interest other than pecuniary interest or non-pecuniary interest relating to items of business on the agenda having regard to paragraph 6 to 8 inclusive of the code of conduct for members.
I'm in receipt of a local government pension, agenda item 6.
Thank you. Yes. Anything else? No? Members are reminded that they are also required to disclose any such interest as they, soon as they become aware, should the need arise throughout the meeting. Right. Agenda item 5, Ms. Clark.
Because the update
is just
on that.
I've got an update.
No, I've got an update on
oh, you
the
have.
PR list reopening. So here we've got the risk register at the 31st of December. You will see that not many, if any, risks have changed. All have been updated. We envisage further risk updates to be required as at the 31st of March, which is what we're currently working through as CLT. I'm happy to take any questions on the paper and we'll take it as read while my laptop's opening up.
Questions, members?
No, yeah. Now I've gone up.
Okay, thank you very much. So, recommendation?
Review and undertake.
Noted. Good, thank you very much. External audit. So,
check. New man. I'll assume the report is read, Chair, but I will, as this is my first report, just to run through some of the key points on it, if that's okay. So, I'm pleased to be able to present this my first audit plan. The plan that we pulled together that's in front of you now is based on our initial planning work and risk assessment. That work and assessment has taken into account the likes of our review of key documents, minutes of meetings, discussions with officers, and also a review of the predecessor, Ernst & Young's audit files. We spent a day out looking at their files and talking to them as well. We sort of assimilate all of that information and then based on that we have brought together the audit plan that you've got. The scope of my audit is done in accordance with the Code of Audit Practice, which is issued by the National Audit Office. The scope as defined by that Code of Audit Practice is consistent with what it has been in previous years. So the substance of my audit and the way I go about it will be similar to that in previous years. In terms of materiality, I've set my materiality level at 2%, which is £640,000. That, again, is consistent. It is my judgment, and I'll make that independently, but it is actually consistent with the materiality level that was applied by a predecessor auditor, Ernst & Young. Their materiality level last year was £657,000. My figure's a bit lower, your spend is a bit lower as opposed to the changes think it's important to note that whilst my maternity level is 640,000, I do actually report to committee all errors or adjustments that I identify over £32,000. So I will, even though I may not impact my audit, I do actually report what I find to a much lower level. And I also do take into account qualitative aspects as well as quantitative aspects. So included within the plan, I've got three areas of risk and focus. There's one significant risk, which is management override controls. Just to be clear, management override controls is an assumed risk under international auditing standards. So I haven't seen any evidence of management overriding those controls, but I'm assumed to believe that there is a natural inherent risk in there, which is why it's there. The procedures that we follow, we do look at key areas of judgment, estimates, and potential areas of management bias, as well as the overall control environment. Whilst not significant risks, I have pulled out two areas of focus, those being firstly the pension liability. So there is complexity involved in the determination of that liability. There are a number of assumptions which are taken into account by the actuary in determining the figure, and small changes in those assumptions can cause large swings in the balance. So I have a benchmarking tool which I use, which is informed by my own actuarial team within Deloitte, which we use as the primary point for testing that. The other area of focus is the valuation of property, plant, and equipment. You'll know that your key assets are revalued on a cyclical basis over a period of 5 years, and they are required to be held at market value. So what I do is I assess the competence of your valuer, and I also, again, use internal experts, my real estate team, and others to just sense check those valuation provided, as well as any uplift or indices that's applied for those items that are not in scope for the annual valuation. So those are the three areas of financial statement risk that I focus on. I'm also required to conclude on the arrangements for around value for money. So I need to look at the arrangements that you have for securing economy efficiency and the effectiveness of the use of resources. Just to be clear, it's the arrangements, not whether you've actually achieved economy efficiency and effectiveness. That risk assessment is ongoing. I'm required to continue to assess that throughout the audit cycle. As it stands, we haven't identified any significant risks in that area, but as I said, there's a standard caveat that I do need to see. I do need to keep that under assessment. So the final thing to point out is just that I am independent of the council and remain so as required by the rules. So, Chair, I will pause there and take any questions.
Thank you. Members, I was a bit remiss. I should have introduced you to Craig Wisdom, who is our lead audit partner for Deloitte. Now, have you got any questions? Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Wisdom, is it?
Yes.
For explaining all that. It's very interesting, and we hope that you help us considerably on this committee. The one question I have is the word that we all don't want to hear at the moment, and that's Brexit. You do mention it in here. I mean, you're saying that you can't really identify anything, but I mean, is there a problem with this council in any way that you can think of that might affect us once we leave the EU?
So I will defer to Emma on whether she believes there is anything of concern. But what I can say is that obviously where we end up on Brexit is important to determining whether there are any issues or not. As it stands, I haven't identified anything that I see that is of such significance that impacts the council. But again, I think it's probably better answered by Emma in terms of the overall impact.
That's fine.
So we've been looking at Brexit risks probably for about the last, in detail, for about the last 12 months. The key risks for local authorities tend to be for those local authorities that are A, have a lot of domiciliary care services, really, which are provided currently by EU nationals. So particularly around social care provision for the elderly is a particularly strong example. That's not something that we deliver ourselves. One of our previous risks a few years ago would have also been around the waste contract, because at that point in time, sewers were employing a large number of EU nationals to deliver our waste contract. But since that, I understand that a lot of those EU nationals have gone back to their countries, and that therefore is no longer a risk to us. I think the main thing that really I'm keeping an eye on is around increasing prices. So whether we've got any impacts on our budget whereby we're buying or importing goods and the cost is going to rise. But other than that, and the general risks around potentially for us around a further election and delivering that election, a potential referendum and delivering that referendum, and perhaps a general election and delivering that general election, are mainly mitigated. And the two key areas around waste contracts and delivery of social care doesn't affect us.
Councillor Harkin.
On the audit fees in Appendix 2, is that an increase on what we paid before or a reduction?
Reduction.
Thank you.
Councillor Beale.
Generally indicated that you've got people from the EU that's gone back to their own country again. Surely that isn't a risk to us, because that is a risk to the management that are doing the job. We've got a contract for them to do the work, and it's down to them to find the employees. It's not really for us to worry about it, is it?
You say that, but we have a partnership contract with Suez, and therefore, if Suez were unable to recruit staff to be able to deliver our contract, that would be a risk to us, because practically, waste might not be collected, which is a real problem to us on the doorstep. So whilst technically there is a contract in place, if they are actually not able to recruit people, it's not just their risk, it becomes all of our risks.
Okay.
I think the biggest risk is the two MPs.
Anything else, members?
No. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wisdom. Noted, members?
Noted.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Agenda item 7, internal audit. Ms. White.
I will refer to
Mr.
Rubens on this one. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rubens.
Thank you. So if we talk about the progress report, in terms of the 17-18 plan, we have completed now the full risk assessment, which was outstanding for some time, but it's not paper for this committee because it was completed after the audit agenda had been agreed. However, the report will come to the next committee. There's no assurance opinion on it. It was more an advisory piece of work to help the council determine what council board work it needs to do in the future. So that will inform that work, and as I say, we will present at the next meeting. For the 18-19 plan, we have two reports which have been completed: capital project management, IT transformation. I'll talk briefly about both, but both are positive in terms of the opinion we've given on them. We also have the transformation programme audit, which is in draft. It's been agreed. It just needs to go to the transformation board for formal sign-off. So again, that will come to the next meeting. So in terms of where we are overall, I think we're in a reasonable position. We have 6 out of 11 audits completed. Everything else is being scoped and delivered at the moment, so should all be completed for your next meeting and for us to produce our head of internal audit opinion. So if I just very briefly talk about these two audits, there's the capital project management. We've given that substantial assurance on design, moderate on effectiveness. I think on the whole, we think we've got a very good process for your capital project management, good approval process, good monitoring processes, expenditure has been properly scrutinised and approved. You have had issues with slippage in the past around the capital programme, but you've already taken action to deal with that by building contingency into your programme in future, and we've seen that actually work in practice with the IT transformation project. So we're satisfied that you're taking the right kind of action around that. So we haven't raised a recommendation around that. Our one recommendation, we've got a couple of recommendations around just making sure you have a sort of traffic light rating around when you report on your projects. Just makes it clearer as to where you are. And to also include your smaller projects in your risk registers. So those are the only sort of two recommendations from that report. and we're happy with the management response on those. If I go on to the second report, that's IT transformation. It's obviously a key area for you. You've invested a lot of money in terms of around IT. It's been underinvested in the past, so a certain amount of resources going through there. We've looked at your project plans around that. On the whole, again, very positive. So we've seen good practice in terms of having transformation board, program board look at the plans. You have a clear project plan, budget monitoring, weekly highlight reports, the link between your strategy, council strategy, and the transformation programme is a good one, and you have a risk log as well. So again, we've seen a lot of good practice. We're very pleased with the way you set this project up. We did have one recommendation just around updating the forecasts, your budget forecast when you report. Now, you've got a very good budget scrutiny process anyway, but it's just making sure you have the very latest forecast in the budget will just help you look at that in a more robust way. But overall, again, very positive report. So I'm happy to take any questions or comments on those reports.
No.
Mm-hmm.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Thank you, Mr. Rubens. Right. Members, so noted?
Noted.
Agreed. Thank you. Agenda item 8, back to you, Mr. Rubens, for the follow-up recommendations.
Thank you, Chair. So the follow-up, just to give you a sort of overview of where we are, there's 68 recommendations in total. We've been able to sign off to date 48 of those, so there's 20 outstanding. 7 of those relate to your future council model programme, so they will be dealt with as part of that programme. So that only leaves 13, of which only one is a high priority, which relates to the information governance work around your use of payments systems. And again, we've got a revised date for that, so we're confident that one will be signed off. So overall, I think good progress, and we've had responses on all the recommendations. There will always be some that are not quite signed off at the time in the audit committee, but overall, I'm certainly pleased with where we've got to.
Thank you very much. Members? Councillor Bamford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know that the auditor is giving a verbal report, but obviously it supersedes this. You know, there's things that you've said that aren't on here, so it's difficult for us to follow. You're saying that so many have been signed off and since this report was done. Is that right?
No, I was literally summing up the report, so I haven't given you any new information. All I was saying is that obviously, any one point in time, there will be work in progress. So we'll give you a more up-to-date picture at the next committee, but no, this is a summary of where we are at the moment.
Sorry.
Do you not follow the report, Councillor Bamford?
Well, I did sort of, but he's going quite quickly through it, and I didn't really follow all of it. I mean, you did say that the fraud one...
Can you put your microphone on?
Sorry, you did say the fraud one had been dealt with and be signed off next time. So that's what threw me, I think, because when you started talking about things that weren't on here, I thought that all you were saying were things that weren't on here. But okay, fair enough. Thank you. Good report.
Councillor Blue.
I'm just getting a little bit concerned about some of these recommendations. First of all, can I pay tribute to both of the auditors, because we've certainly got nice and clear and easy to understand reports. So we're certainly moving in the right direction. Of course, you'll be aware, Chairman, through you, of the new committee structure, where you're going to be presented to a much larger, and I hope, just as friendly committee from October onwards. But, Chairman, this issue about noting reports is contrary to what Council has agreed. And I think that with regards to this one, it should be something along the lines of the comments of the committee as sort of in relation to the progress. I think these are things that we should be aware of when we go to this rather large,
yes, of course,
welcoming, nevertheless, welcoming committee of 16 members. I beg your pardon, 15. I think we need to just bear this in mind, Chairman. But other than that, I think very.
Have you got any comments, Councillor?
No, I'm just about to propose, Chairman, that we agree with this recommendation, even though it's contrary to what Council has agreed.
Thank yes, you. I know. But we're still on the old system, aren't we?
Chairman, with respect, this was a decision made by Council some months ago.
I thought it came in with the new Council.
You've warned
me
already. No, you've already warned me to stop talking, and I will.
No, it's going to be the recommendation. I thought you'd stop, Councillor Flynn.
Well,
right, Councillor Harker, you wanted to talk.
No. The only comment I would make is that when you're going through, if you could refer to page either the mod.gov page numbers or the report page numbers, it'd be a lot easier to follow.
That's for those that are on the iPads.
Since
yes.
We're not, have we been denied paper?
No.
Oh, that's a
pen for next.
So you don't want central.
Right.
No, I don't.
Now, members, not across the room. Put your comments through the chair, please.
In that case, Chairman, may I through you inform Councillor Harker that I'm playing the smallest violin in the world?
Thank you. I'll pass it on to him.
Thank you so much.
Right, members, agreed?
Agreed.
You're committed? Comments noted. How about that? That seems like a reasonable compromise. Right, agenda item 9, Mr. Rubens, it's back to you again.
Thank you, back to me. So I will talk to, just for the councillor's benefit, page 71 of the overall papers, or page 3 of our plan, which is to give you the overall sense of how we've done the plan. So we've brought together through discussions with the Director of Resources and others, and you're looking at a risk register of plan. That is based on, we hope, your key risks and issues. If you sort of scroll through the plan, you'll notice in terms of the subject areas, there's a number of things that you'll expect to see anyway, like main financial systems, looking at risk and looking at counter-fraud, where we have a number of days in the plan each year. But there's also a number of very specific audits. If we start on page 74, you'll see a number there around looking at your new committee structure arrangements, looking at your workforce management, transformation, again, an important area we need to continue to look at. The next page, page 75, covers things like GDPR, your IT disaster recovery, procurement. So again, hopefully all areas that you'll recognise as being ones of risk. And then the page after, page 76, we have the management of property, and also looking at your new corporate plan as well. So I think a number of quite interesting areas there. We're covering quite a lot of ground. Hopefully you do recognise those as being the risks and issues facing the council, but I'm very happy to take any comments or questions.
That was brilliant.
No questions, members?
No questions.
Right. Recommendation is the plan be approved. Is it approved?
Approved.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Rubens. Right. Any other items of business that the chairman of the committee decides are urgent? I have none. Therefore, I have pleasure in closing the meeting at 3:24. And also, thank you, members, for your help and attendance over the last year.